Greetings, dear radio listeners. Welcome to the JVTC Radio Half Hour and our continuing saga of the extraordinary adventures of Arsène Lupin. On tonight's broadcast, we present The Safe of Madame Imbert, the seventh tale in the daring adventures of our favorite gentleman burglar. Tonight, we go back. Back before Lupin enjoyed the celebrity of the Queen's Necklace Affair, before he purloined priceless jewels from Baron Cahorn, even before his capture and escape at the hands of Detective Justin Ganimard. In order to try and make sense of Lupin's motives, Ganimard has decided to write a book on everything he knows about Lupin, hoping that somewhere in the prose will lie the clue to his capture.
A Gentleman or a Nitwit? My Look at Lupin by Justin Ganimard. In all my years as a police inspector, no suspect has ever been more fascinating than Arsène Lupin. It is for this reason that I feel compelled to write his biography. After all, who better to dissect this specimen than his strongest and most capable adversary? Many people may say they believe the great Arsène Lupin is infallible, that he is always the trickster, never the tricked. But I know the truth. How do I know, you might ask? Well, not only have I caught him unawares a time or two, but I know because Arsène Lupin told me himself. In his very own words one evening while I visited him at the prison de la Sante. Before his confounded escape bungled by our farcical police force, it was not my fault the prison guards let down their, well, guard. They really were... I appear to have gone off on a bit of a tangent. Let's see, where was I? Oh, yes. Arsène Lupin's fallibility. Lupin smiled as he began his yarn of when he was wronged, commencing late one night on the Boulevard Berthier, as Monsieur Ludovic Imbert is leaving a most obstreperous party.
What a lovely party.
Indeed.
My goodness, is it 3 a.m. already?
I believe it is.
3 a.m.
Where is my carriage?
Cheers to a wonderful evening.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Monsieur Imbert, are you not taking your carriage?
I fancy not. It is a beautiful evening.
Why, yes, it is.
I think perhaps a stroll down the boulevard is in order. I shall forego my carriage.
A grand idea. Be careful of the ruffians that hang about. Good evening, Monsieur Imbert.
Good night. Did I hear something? No. It must be my imagination. Is someone there? I know someone is there. Show yourself. Help!
Hold still, Governor, and this will go a lot easier for you.
Are you okay, Monsieur?
Yes, I...
Are you injured?
No, just... might dazed.
Here, let me help you up.
Oh my.
Slowly, slowly. There we go. I will fetch us a carriage. Please do not move. I shall return momentarily.
You there!
Here we go. Monsieur, where shall I have the attendant take us?
Oh, please, there's no need to accompany me.
I insist.
I don't want to burden you.
It is no bother. No bother at all.
Very well. Please take me to my home on Avenue de la Grande Armée.
Oui, monsieur.
Are you feeling better?
Yes. I cannot thank you enough. I owe you my life, and I shall not forget it.
It was the honorable thing to do.
I do not wish to alarm my wife at this late hour, but if you would please come by our home tomorrow, she will certainly want to thank you as well.
I do not want to impose.
I insist. Come and breakfast with us. My name is Ludovic Imbert. May I ask yours?
Oh, certainly, monsieur. My name is Lupin. Arsène Lupin.
Well, Governor.
Do not worry, my friend. It is all fixed.
How?
I am going there for breakfast.
You? Breakfast? There?
Certainly. Why not? I rescued Ludovic Imbert from certain death at your hands. The monsieur is nothing but grateful, and he has invited me to breakfast.
You aren't going to foil our plans, are you?
My dear boy, when I arranged this little episode of assault and battery, when I took such care in the early hours to rap you on the head with my cane, apologies, by the way, if it was too rough. It was not my intention to forego the advantages to be gained from a rescue so carefully arranged and executed.
And you are certain what they say about the Imbert fortune is true?
I have not spent the last 6 months plotting, planning, and scheming to be uncertain. The fortune certainly exists, and someday it will be ours.
100 million.
Let us not be ridiculous. 5, maybe 10 million. That is enough. They have a safe full of bonds, and there will be devil to pay if I can't get my hands on them.
What do we do now?
Sit tight, my dear friend. We are in no hurry. In due course, we will be very rich and very prosperous, gentlemen.
Yes, may I help you?
Good morning. I am here to see the Imberts. My name is...
Arsène Lupin, as I live and breathe. Please, please come right in. Our home is welcome to you, our savior.
Thank you. You must be Madame Imbert.
Indeed I am, but you can call me Gervaise. Ludovic, our savior has arrived.
Ah, yes, Monsieur Lupin. It is a pleasure to see you again.
And you, Monsieur Imbert. How are you feeling?
Never better. Oh, except for a slight bruise to my ego.
Come now, Ludovic.
Well, I am glad to hear you are doing better, monsieur.
Breakfast is served.
Oh, my goodness, Madame Imbert.
Gervaise.
Gervaise. That was a delightful meal. And the stories you told of your youth and your family and the obstacles you have overcome to enjoy one's own inheritance, it is truly inspiring. It reminds me somewhat of my own.
You don't know the half of it. The litigation and the injunctions alone are enough to cause my heart great anguish. And do not get me started on that despicable Brawford.
Brawford!
Brawford? Despicable, you say?
Oh, not Brawford the senior. No, he took me in, and it is from him I have received the many bonds. No, but his son, Brawford Jr., who has thrown up obstacle after obstacle to prevent me from enjoying my inheritance.
All over a couple of, what did you say? Bones?
Just think of it, Monsieur Le Bon. The bonds are there in my husband's office. And if we detach a single coupon, we lose everything.
Everything?
Quite so. They are there in our safe behind a combination and lock of which only my husband has the key.
Oh, indeed.
And yet we dare not touch the bonds.
Ah, they are there. They are there. Just in the other room. I could become a detective yet.
What was that?
Oh, nothing. Just that I must confess such a vast amount of money. I never... Oh, never mind.
No, please, do go on.
It is only that I come from a poor family and had a rather difficult childhood. I am afraid to admit that these difficulties continue to today. To have worries that you have, I should be so lucky.
Monsieur Le Bon, is it not clear? You are part of our family now.
Yes, you are.
And do you know what? I have a splendid idea. Ludovic was just saying the other day that we were looking for a private secretary. Isn't that right, dear?
It's true.
You would be perfect for such a position.
I could not possibly accept such a generalist.
Not another word. We insist.
How does a starting salary of 100 francs a month sound? Plus an office right above mine.
Very well. Thank you both.
It is we who should be thanking you.
Yes, thank you, our savior.
Your savior, huh? How simply fantastic.
You laugh, my dear Ganimard, but do I not say that I hold you in the highest regard?
Oh, you say it. Whether I believe it is another story.
You offend me, good sir. I would never lie to you. The best detective in all of France.
Be that as it may, go on with your story. Were you able to crack the safe?
My good chap, let's not get ahead of ourselves. At this point in the narrative, it was not an issue of cracking the safe, and it certainly was not an issue of luck. It was an issue of access. I had been working there no less than 2 months, and I had not a single opportunity to access the safe.
I could see how that would frustrate a would-be burglar.
Oh, I made clandestine visits to Monsieur Humbert's office, but each time I found the safe was hermetically closed.
I failed to believe that would stop you.
Stop? No. Delay? Yes. The safe was an immense block of iron and steel. No ordinary burglar's tools could possibly open it.
I see. A man must know when he is beat. The Imbert's must have been sorry to see you go when you gave up the pursuits.
Moi? Arsène Lupin give up? I laugh at your naivete. No, my friend. Where force fails, cunning prevails.
What do you mean?
What I mean is that I had to be ready for when the opportunity presented itself. I would watch and I would wait. I had already placed a lead pipe through the floor of my office to the ceiling of Monsieur Humbert's office.
Why on earth did you do that?
Because I could now hear and see any pertinent details that transpired below. And more importantly, I could learn the figures to the combination lock. I would watch their movements carefully. I would read the words on their lips delicately.
What about the key?
Ah, yes. Now that took all of my cunning. Never fear, my friend. The bonds would soon be mine. Until then, I would be patient. After all, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Summer, a time for travel, a time for relaxation, a time for recreation, a time for murder. Jakespeare Virtual Theater Company is pleased to present Shirley Jackson's The Summer People, based on her short story, adapted by Brainerd Duffield. Watch The Summer People this July at shakespearevtc.com/summer.
Just left in Bell's office. Now is the perfect time to enter.
Ah, Monsieur Lupin.
What a surprise!
Oh, excuse me, I made a mistake with the door.
Ah, this old house does get one turned around a bit, doesn't it? I had left my glasses, but I am glad to find you here. As a matter of fact, there is something we need to speak with you about.
Is there?
Yes, we could use your advice.
My advice?
What bonds should we sell? The foreign securities or the government annuities?
I do not understand. What about the injunction and the Brofford?
Oh, that. The injunction doesn't cover all of the bonds.
I say sell the foreign bonds, but my husband...
I simply believe it would be foolish to sell the foreign bonds. They are going up while the annuities are as high as they ever will be. What do you think, my friend?
Yes, tell us what you think.
I cannot. that is, I mean to say, I suppose the annuities, if what Monsieur Lambert says is true.
Uh-huh! You see, dear...
The government annuities it is, then.
I wonder how many francs this will equate to.
Well, how many did it equate to?
46,000 francs.
Incroyable.
And I do wish you'd stop interrupting my story.
It sounds like you made yourself right at home.
Did I? Funny you should say that, for I felt nothing of the sort.
What do you mean?
Well, for one, the servants. They didn't even know my name. You have to understand, this was long before I was the beloved gentleman burglar sitting before you today. Back then, the servants simply referred to me as Monsieur. You will tell Monsieur, has Monsieur arrived, etc., etc. And despite the Imbert's considering me their savior upon arrival in their home, they generally gave me very little attention. Instead, they treated me like I was some eccentric character, not to be disturbed. In fact, on one occasion, I even overheard Madame Imbert say about me to several distinguished guests, "He is such a barbarian."
I can think of many names to call you, but a barbarian? You?
You know what I thought? Very well then. If a barbarian they believe, then a barbarian I shall be. It was the time to execute the plans. No more waiting for chance or negligence on the part of the Imbert's. Now was the time for action.
How did you proceed?
I had learned that certain newspapers had it out against the Imbert's, including the Echo de France, of which I am now a shareholder. But then, I was only a humble reader. Indeed, it was this very article that put the idea into my head about pursuing a future in journalism one day.
I am on tenterhooks to hear what the illustrious periodical said.
The paper accused the Imbert's of swindling and mishandling their finances. Because of this, the Imbert's were intending to do a full examination and inventory of the contents of their safe.
And you intended to be there when they did so.
Exactly. I would watch from the secretive hole in my room and wait for the opportune time. Then, when that moment arrived, I planned to climb down my window by means of a knotted rope fastened to my balcony. Then I'd carefully open the window to Imbert's office.
But what if
do not worry! I had already fixed the bolt, so it would not securely latch. I was quite antsy waiting in my office, counting down the minutes until I became a very rich man.
Ludovic, we have been at this for hours.
Nonsense.
It is past midnight and the servants are all asleep. And now it is just you and me inventorying the contents of the safe. I'm going to bed. And you, my dear?
I shall stay and finish.
Finish? That'll take you all night.
Not at all. An hour. At the most.
Very well. Good night, my dear.
Good night, Gervaise.
Now is the moment. I just need to go unnoticed, opening the window to Imbale's office.
Ah! The room is getting quite cold. I don't recall opening the window. Perhaps the wind. I shall close it.
Sorry, my friend, but I could not afford you the opportunity to recognize me as your assailant. Do not worry, as you shall wake up tomorrow with nothing but a small bump on your head and perhaps a momentary memory loss of this encounter. Please begging your pardon, as I, the great Arsène Lupin, borrow your key and empty your safe of its contents.
I do not know why you are pacing with such a nervous step. After all, it sounds as though it was one of your most successful adventures. You went away with hundreds of millions.
Do you not recall my saying, they greatly exaggerated their wealth?
Well, a respectable amount nonetheless.
Respectable. Bah. There are some impenetrable secrets connected with that affair. I simply do not wish to share with you La Police, even if you are my greatest nemesis.
I respect your backhanded compliment.
Fine, drag it out of me. For instance, have you heard of the Imbales? Was my diabolical and brilliant plan reported to your department?
Now that you mention it, I do not recall ever hearing their name prior to now.
Why then? Did they not take advantage of the help I unconsciously gave them? It would have been so simple for them to say to the authorities, their bonds worth hundreds of millions were in the safe. They are no longer there because they have been stolen.
Perhaps they knew it would stir up more problems with that Brawford cousin.
Perhaps. Yes, that may be it. On the other hand, it is true that...
What is true?
Oh, nothing.
Have you not seen them since?
No. They left suddenly for a short time thereafter to parts unknown.
And you have never experienced the slightest degree of pity for them?
Pity? For them? Sacrebleu!
I mean, if you had left them alone, they might have been able to face the danger, or at least made their escape with full pockets.
What do you mean? I suppose you believe I should be filled with remorse.
Well, call it remorse or regret, whatever you like.
No! They are not worth it.
You have no regrets for robbing them of their fortune?
What's that?
You deprive them of their fortune.
What fortune?
Lupin. Are we talking about the same thing? You know what I refer to. The packages of bonds you took from the Imbert's safe.
Oh, I stole their bonds, did I? Divested them of a portion of their wealth. Is that my crime? Oh, my dear Ganimard, you do not know the truth. Those bonds? They were false. Counterfeit. Every one of them. Do you understand? They were counterfeit.
Counterfeit? The bonds worth millions?
Yes. Nothing more than scraps of paper. If you ask me if I have any remorse, they are the ones who should feel remorse. They have played me for a simpleton, and I fell right into the trap. Their latest victim, their stupid girl.
Oh, my.
Right from the beginning, I was being played. whilst I was posing as their savior who risked my life to rescue Monsieur Imbert, they were passing me off to others as Brothard. Brothard! Nothing but an eccentric barbarian living on the second floor. Because of my role as Brothard, they were able to borrow money from bankers and other lenders. And what's worse, my dear fellow, embarrassed to admit, what's worse is that this very moment, Gervais Imbert owes me 1,500 francs.
1,500 francs, you say?
Yes, my boy. 1,500 francs.
If that doesn't take the cake.
Obviously, I never received a single sou of my promised salary. But more than that, she borrowed from me the sum of 1,500 to charity. Isn't that amusing? Arsène Lupin, done out of 1,500 francs by the same lady from whom he stole 4 million in counterfeit bonds. But I tell you this. It was the first time in my life that I was played for a fool. And I swear to you, I shall profit by this lesson. Indeed, I shall profit.
And so, Lupin's tale concluded, it left me to wonder about its authenticity. Could he be trying to garner sympathy from me with this yarn? As some means to a greater end? Or could it be that, for once, he let the mask drop to reveal who he truly is underneath? Ah, how often the solution to one mystery leads to even more questions. But there is always an endpoint to every case, and I will find the closure to this one before long. Of that, I am certain.
Poor Arsène Lupin, at his wit's end, trying to outwit those he was certain were witless. But not to worry, for what hurts him only makes him stronger. We hope you enjoyed this glimpse into a formative first foray in flim-flammery from Arsène Lupin. We look forward to bringing you more thrilling escapes next time on the JVTC Radio Half Hours, The Extraordinary Adventures of Arsène Lupin.
The Extraordinary Adventures of Arsène Lupin, The Safe of Madame Imbert, was written by David Lipschutz and Jake Lewis, adapted from the short story by Maurice LeBlanc, and directed and edited by Jake Lewis. The Safe of Madame Imbert featured the voice talents of, in order of appearance, Steph Wolf as the radio announcer, Mark O'Donnell as Ganimard, Sven Weiberg as Lupin, David Lipschutz as Guest 1 and Accomplice, Gwendolyn Kim as Guest 2 and Attendant, James Andrew Tott as Guest 3 and Servant, Dan Leonard as Monsieur Imbert, and Chelsea Cook as Madame Imbert. The theme song was composed and performed by John Bartman, and all sound effects were located within the public domain. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast to be made aware when the next episode streams. For more information, visit www.jakespearevtc.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.